Father, we come to you this morning earnestly desiring, dear Lord, that the truth of your word might take root in our hearts day by day. We thank you that we are born again by that word, and we thank you that we are renewed on a daily basis by that same word. And in the meantime, we look for the coming and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you may always be glorified in our mortal bodies. And we pray, dear Lord, that you would always be renewing the inner man day by day so that we might be spiritually everything that you want us to be and have called us to be. So, Lord, let us, dear Lord, take no mind really for our outward situation, but to focus more on the inner man that will live forever, which has already been made alive in Christ, and which does not lose any ground at all, but is only gaining ground day by day. Teach us this truth, Lord, and then help us to apply it to our own situation and to walk in it. And thank you, Lord, that though the outer man may be wasting away, the inner man really is as fit as a fiddle. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And so now you kind of have a hint of what that fit as a fiddle is all about there. Last week, we went to chapter 5 and we talked about the temporary dwelling versus the permanent dwelling, the mortal dwelling versus the immortal, and all of that, and how that, you know, the true person is the inner person, and we're simply living in a temporary body right now that's going to be replaced with a permanent body, or we're clothed with a temporary garment that's going to be replaced with a permanent garment. And so we saw how this inner man and the outer man thing works in regards to physical death and how it works with regard to the resurrection. But today we're going to backtrack to chapter 4, and we're going to be talking about the same truth, the same principles, but how it applies right now in the nasty now and now. And that then will conclude. We're not going purely chronological here, but that will conclude our block on chapters 1 through 5, so that then next week, Lord willing, we'll be able to move on to chapter 6. But this is a really interesting passage here in chapter 4, and he is actually building up to chapter 5, where he talks about leaving this temporary tent we're in now and going to our permanent home in heaven. So he starts it all back there where he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So as we pick up there, let's, for those of you who like to do the notes and fill in the blanks, now would be the time to get that. And we're going to go through those, and then we're probably going to come back and revisit a couple of them. But I think right now we'll probably move kind of through them. Number one, thoughts and observations from this passage. Number one, the treasure is eternal. That'd be the treasure of the gospel, the treasure of his indwelling spirit in us. But the jar that holds it is temporal. So that's what he says. We have this treasure, this never-fading eternal treasure of God. We have it. It's in us. It's on display in us. But it's in an earthen vessel. And may I add, a temporary earthen vessel, an earthen vessel that at some point is going to be discarded, dissolved, and replaced with a new and a better and eternal one. But right now, his treasure is in this jar of clay. So the treasure is still the treasure, and it is what it is, but this outer jar is a jar of clay. How many are reminded once in a while, maybe by just a little fleeting shooting pain or something in your body, that you are in a body of clay? Right, you're reminded every once in a while, right? And so we have this treasure. The treasure is incorruptible. It is from God. It is from heaven. It is eternal. It has the power to transform lives forever. But God has chosen to take this treasure and deposit it in earthen vessels. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So what the Holy Spirit has done is he has come and he has indwelled an earthen vessel. And once he is indwelling that vessel, and once he is in control of that vessel, he, indwelling that vessel, is able, even through the vessel, to bring honor and glory to God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so even through our mortal body, through the things that we do and say and all of that, God is able to minister to people. God is able to bring blessing to people. So it comes from the treasure, but nonetheless, he will, when the Holy Spirit is indwelling the earthen vessel, he will even use that earthen temporary vessel as a vehicle for his honor and his glory. I heard, maybe some of you have heard of him, but there's a little guy that, just a little guy, and they have to stand him on a table or something so he can preach the gospel. And you might say, well, my, that's an awful thing to come into the world and have that kind of a handicap. Do you know how many people come to see him? Do you know how many people come to hear him? And through that, God is actually using that to draw crowds so that people will get saved and large numbers of people are coming to the Lord. So even in a vessel that you might say, well, that one's substandard or whatever, don't answer this one. How many have ever been dissatisfied with your looks or some physical feature you have? How many have ever wished you had a different nose or a different set of lips or ears or something? I don't know, but I know out, and there may not be any at South Norfolk Christian Church, but out in the world there's a whole bunch of them because plastic surgery is booming even in this economy. But the treasure is eternal, and the jar is that holds it is temporal. Number two, the treasure is a supernatural gift from heaven. But the jar that holds it is of this earth. And that is absolutely true. God formed man in his own image and all that, but he formed him out of the dust of the earth. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so the physical part of man is of the earth, from the earth, meant to be on the earth, and that's why he put us in a body of earth, because we are of the earth here and now. And it says that as we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. And so the earthly first, and then the heavenly. But the heavenly, the intangible part of the heavenly, has already come to live in and indwell the temporary and the earthly. And God, for now, that's how he chooses to work. His Holy Spirit is at work, but he uses people. His word is at work, but he uses people. And God does not bypass that human instrumentality. If he wanted to, he could just communicate directly with everybody, but he doesn't, does he? He comes and he indwells you, changes you, transforms you, makes you an example of his grace, and then he begins to speak through you and have you pray for people and have you speak truth into people's lives and have you minister to people and so forth. And through that means, through using you, is how he brings other people to himself. And so in this earthly setting, that is how he chooses to do it, and he does not bypass that. So we really do have one foot here, you know, as believers. We're of this earth. We are natives of this earth in that sense. And yet it says now our true citizenship is in heaven. So, you know, and we're representing him to the world, as it lets us know in more detail in chapter 5. And we talked about being ambassadors. All right, number three. The resurrection life of Jesus, which God placed inside each and every believer, never ages or perishes. The resurrection life of Jesus, which God placed inside each and every believer, never ages or perishes. But the physical bodies we live in are in a continual state of deterioration to later be replaced. And so we're indwelt by the power of God. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And that part never ages, never perishes whatsoever. But this, thank you, this earthly receptacle that we're in, it is wasting away gradually, but it is wasting away and deteriorating day by day. Now, number four, the body is progressively deteriorating. The inner man is progressively being renewed, restored, and reinvigorated. And I'll read you this verse again from our reading today. Though outwardly we are wasting away, and by the way, I looked up the Greek, and the Greek word, the original Greek word there means to rot thoroughly. Ever opened the lid on a dumpster? Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being what? Renewed day by day. So the body is progressively deteriorating. The inner man is progressively being renewed, restored, and reinvigorated on a daily basis. Now, I'll make a note there. If we're living a normal Christian life, if we are walking with the Lord, if we're spending time in the Word, if we're spending time in His presence through prayer, if we're doing the things that then the inner man is being renewed and restored day by day. I think we would have to put that sub-note there. Okay, number five. The status of the inner man need not be affected by the status of the outer man. So, there are certain parts of our health and certain parts of certain things we may have very little control over, but we have control over what we do concerning the inner man, whether we really live in the presence of the Lord. We have the opportunity every Monday to visit some of our members that can no longer get out because of physical deficiencies. And yet, these are people that the inner man is being renewed day by day. And when we go and visit them, they may be in their 90s and they may have some limited capacity in some ways. But spiritually, they are right up to date, strong, fit, stronger than they've ever been. And I could name names. I mean, Jesse Waters comes to mind, and there are others. But you leave those places actually encouraged yourself, proving that the status of the inner man doesn't have to be pulled down and dragged down by the status of the outer man. So don't believe the lie of the devil. Just because you've got a physical impairment, illness, or limitation, or whatever, that does not mean that spiritually you have to suffer at all. You can be stronger than you've ever been. You can be younger than you've ever been. You can be more invigorated than you've ever been spiritually. And there are many believers that can tell you this and bear witness to that fact. And then, number six, it is always a grave mistake. And this is one we make often. And we make it very much in our society, in our Western society. It is always a grave mistake to focus more on the outer man than on the inner man. We'll get back to that. How much do we spend on the outer man? How much time and energy and effort and thought and worry do we give to the outer man? The only thing I'll say about that at this point is if we gave as much time, thought, effort, money, and everything else to the inner man as we do the outer man, we'd all be spiritually fit. Amen? Amen. Number seven. Early gospel messengers paid a physical price for carrying the gospel. But they knew it was well worth it because they viewed the physical body as expendable anyway and understood that the glory that awaits us is eternal. So in their view, if the physical body must be put through hardship, why not principally so in the spreading of the glorious message of salvation. I want to read a slightly amplified version of three verses from our reading today, 2 Corinthians 4:10 to 12, to help us understand what I believe the Apostle Paul was saying. And if you go down there to that part of the reading that says we always carry around in our body, if you want to get the reading and be looking at that, I've added a few words here in brackets. We always carry around in our physical body the death of Jesus so that the resurrection life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive spiritually are always being given over to physical death for Jesus' sake so that his resurrection life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then physical death is at work in us, but Christ's resurrection life is at work in you. And what the Apostle Paul was talking about, and he talks about this very plainly here in 2 Corinthians, does he not list on like three different occasions in this book all the things he had been through, the beatings and the imprisonments and the shipwrecks and the this and the that, and he had been stoned and he had been through all this, and that was the price of carrying the gospel. He said in another place, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He was continually being delivered over to physical death, as it were, thrown in prison, beaten, all those things. And the result was that in the midst of it all, churches were planted. People turned to the Lord, both Jew and Gentile. Churches were established that would go on for generations. And he literally paid a physical price in his jar of clay in order that the treasure that was on the inside might be even more visible. And it was the price he had to pay, but he was glad to do it. And so he says, this is expendable, but I'm glad to expend it on behalf of you. And you all have now become the beneficiary of the hardships, the toils, the persecutions, all the things that I've gone through in the spreading of the gospel. You have now been given spiritual life through that. Not that that saves, but it has become the vehicle through which God will work in order to bring the gospel to people. How many believe that even today, modern missionaries sometimes pay a pretty high price for doing what they do? And sometimes it's physical. I just read yesterday in a recent newsletter from Scripture Ministries of India, which we have supported for many years, and they have evangelists that go into all these distant and hardened areas of India where there's Hinduism and Buddhism and all of these, and Islam and all these, and they're experiencing this right now. Their churches are being burned down. They're being persecuted. In Orissa province alone, not long ago, there were 13,000 Christian refugees fleeing the persecution from the Hindus. But I ask you today, in the midst of that persecution and in the midst of the physical suffering that they're going through, is God raising up believers and is his Spirit at work? And so, in America, it's hard for us to understand this passage because we live a sheltered life. We live in relative luxury. We have padded pews in our church. We have air conditioning in our church, and we don't have mobs of Hindus outside forming a mob threatening to break in any moment and drag the pastor out and beat him and stone him. But that is a reality that is going on even today in certain parts of the world. And if the gospel is going to go to those places, that is the price that has to be paid, for any price less than that will not get the job done. And so this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And he's like, I'm fine with it. Lord, I'm not looking for trouble for trouble's sake. But if in the process of carrying this word I'm beaten, if in the process of it I am imprisoned, if in the process of it I am in a shipwreck or whatever, if I'm stoned, Lord, that is a fine price, because I remember that your son Jesus paid an awful high physical price so that I could have spiritual life. And this is an extension of that. This is a continuation of that. This is an identification with that. And so, I know this isn't all that feel good, you know, but it's reality, folks. And again, we wouldn't look for, but don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged by your physical ailments. Don't be discouraged by your limitation. Don't be discouraged by these things. Because Paul says over and over again in this book, we haven't gotten to that part yet, but he says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. I had a physical condition of some sort, he says. 3 times I asked the Lord to take it away. And in the end, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, because my strength is perfected in weakness. My spiritual strength is perfected in physical weakness. And I'm going to give you what I think is the paraphrase or whatever. I wrote here in other words. And by the way, all this, the bracketed version of the reading and many other related passages are posted. You'll see them by tomorrow if you want to check there on sncccc.org. But this is what I hear Paul saying to the Corinthian believers. Our hardships are resulting in your salvation and deliverance. Our difficulties are resulting in your spiritual advance. Our sufferings are bringing you life and wholeness and healing. We are being subjected to death continually in order that you may thrive spiritually. In the end, God is going to raise us all together and glorify us all together, and we're all going to enjoy His presence together forever. So everything will be evened out in the end, and we'll celebrate for all eternity. Meanwhile, we're going through some difficulties and hardships. But compared to the glory that will be revealed in us in that day, they're just a drop in the bucket, a fleeting fancy soon to be swallowed up in the reality of indescribable glory and never-ending life. Therefore, we do not lose heart. In fact, we're as fit as a fiddle and raring to go. Can I hear an amen? And getting back to a couple of the points on our thing here with the blanks, I want to focus a minute on that one that says it is a grave mistake. It is a grave mistake to focus more on the outer man than on the inner man. We do a lot of that. I'm not saying we shouldn't. You know, sure, we should do the common sense things and all that. But this is a jar of clay. Okay? It's a jar of clay. You can feed it. You can medicate it. You can bathe it and care for it. You can subject it to a rigorous exercise routine. You can dump loads of vitamins and supplements into it, and you can daub it all up with all kinds of cosmetics and purties, and it is still an earthen jar. So that at some point, you'll be in that casket, and somebody will be saying, oh, don't she look so young for her age, laying in that casket. Doesn't he look fit? Doesn't he look young for his age, laying in that casket? Folks, it's a jar of clay. And we should not be surprised. Sure, we should care for our physical body, because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should do the common sense things. How about eating right for starters? Come on. And getting the amount of sleep we need. and a few things like that. But if my physical body's got to endure some hardship, let it be because I stayed up late praying for somebody instead of staying up late watching a movie. And I go to work the next day, sleep deprived, almost run into somebody because I stayed up till 2 o'clock watching some stupid movie. Or playing some video game. I'm just saying. But until we start exercising a little of these basics, get enough sleep, eat right, exercise a little if you have the opportunity, go to the doctor when you need to, and then leave the rest of it to the Lord. And let's not worry as much. But let's worry a lot about the inner man. Because while we're dolling this outside man all up, and we're getting that part just right, and we're using that little thing that covers up the gray, and we're doing all this stuff, what about the inner man? How is the inner man doing? How does the Lord see it? Does it not say, man looks at the outward appearance, the Lord looks at thee. And when he looks at my heart and he looks at my inner man, what does he see? Am I skinny? Am I malnourished? Am I lazy? Am I languishing? Is my inner man at least as fit as my outer man? And so I'll just say again, the inner man doesn't, the status of the inner man doesn't have to be affected by the status of the outer man. And if I'm going to give, I need to give proper attention to my outer man within keeping with the common sense things like we're talking about. But after that, the main, what is the main thing the Lord's interested in? The inner man. Because that's the part that communicates with him. That's the part that Jesus died on the cross to redeem. That's the part that cares about the Lord. That's the part that cares about the lost. That's the part that seeks the Lord's face in prayer. That is the part that experiences joy when we see the Lord working and answering prayer. That is the part that sings to him and praises him and tells him how much we love him. It's that part, and that's the part he's interested in. And whatever my outer condition may be, and whatever my outer appearance may be, I want that when the Lord looks down, he should see something pretty. And it is all his work. We talk, even in the world, they talk about, do they not talk about inner beauty? Huh? Even the world uses that term. But as Christians, we should have a corner on that one. Because the redeemed, my redeemed spirit that Jesus died to redeem on the cross, that he paid the ultimate price for, just so I could be delivered, and just so I could have daily fellowship with him. That's the part that really matters to him. So we do the common sense things and all that. The outer part will take care of itself, but the Lord is very, very interested on the inner person. And whatever our outer situation may be, don't fret too much for it. If the inner man is where the inner man needs to be, even with our outer ailments, maybe even pains, discomforts, all of those things, the inner man can be. How? As fit as a fiddle. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for what you have put in us. And Lord, I just pray today that you will help us to understand, no matter what our age, no matter what our age, if we're young and vigorous still, we shouldn't neglect the inner person. And if we're already up in years and we do have some ailments and some limitations, we shouldn't neglect the inner person. That is the part that you see. That is the part that you care about. That is the part that's going to exist forever in heaven in your presence. That's a part that's going to be clothed with a new body in due time. But in the meantime, dear Lord, that we would be spiritually healthy before you. And yes, you gave us exactly the body you wanted us to have. And may we, during the time we are in it, may we treat it right according to your guidelines. But Lord, most of all, that you would be glorified both in our spirit and in our mortal body during the time we're here, that it would bring praise to you. Work in our hearts today. Speak to our hearts. Teach us the things we need to know. And show us what really matters. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.